I'd just gotten comfy when Teddy started acting up again. It's like the little bugger has a sixth sense for when I'm relaxed. He'd been playing on the carpet with his Kong toy, trying to wrestle the treat out of its rubber casing. But the minute I sank back against the cushion, his head whipped around. A split second later, he was pawing at my legs, trying to get up on the sofa with me. "Okay, Teddy, it's okay, mate. Up you come." I hoisted Teddy into the air and plonked him on the cushion beside me. He stared back at me with large, brown eyes, head cocked slightly to one side. Teddy's a Welsh Springer Spaniel. Floppy ears, red and white coat, permanently wagging tail. Cute as hell, in other words. My wife went with my 12-year-old son to visit him, and they didn't even have to convince me to say yes. They just showed me a couple of photos. That was all it took. The thing they didn't tell me though, the thing they conveniently left out when the idea was first raised, is that puppies are bloody nuts, and Springer Spaniel puppies are really damn nuts. You take your eyes off them for so much as a second, and you will turn back to find them soaring through your furniture with their needle teeth. They're like Jekyll and Hyde in dog form, sweet and loving one moment, bouncing off the walls the next. And as I'm the only one who's at home during the day, guess who has to pick up the pieces? "Right, Teddy, are you going to be a good boy and sit quietly with me for a bit?" Teddy's tail started wagging. I ruffled his head and he twisted his neck and nipped me lightly on the wrist. I put my hand away and he started yapping, his tail going faster than ever. No biting. Your dad's watching the news. You want to bite something? Chew your toy." I picked up one of Teddy's dog toys, a stuffed turkey with legs that squeaked, and turned back to the TV. The sound of the presenter's voice washed over me. "Now, for the local headlines. A high street restaurant chain has come under the spotlight after reports suggest..." Yep, squeak, squeak. The sounds of Teddy playing punctured through the presenter's words. "Animal rights groups are putting pressure on police to open investigation after another mutilated cat was found on the doorstep of a..." Squeak, yep. I rubbed my eyes and stared at the TV screen, letting the colours wash over me. Finally, a local teenager is making headlines after he developed an app that allows users to... The presenter's voice droned on and on. I felt my eyes drifting shut. I rested my head against my hand, sinking further back into the sofa cushions. And then, quite abruptly, I snapped awake again. Silence in the room. The yapping and the squeaking had stopped. The only sounds now were coming from the TV set. You'd think, for the owner of a dog just getting to grips with its vocal cords, that silence would be bliss. Nope. Silence is a warning. It's like a giant red klaxon to us. In Teddy's case, it normally means he's wandered off to gnaw something he shouldn't be gnawing, or maybe even to curl down a nice fat turd in the corner of the kitchen. Unless the dog is in your line of sight and is fast asleep, silence means you panic. I raised my head and stared around to the left, in the direction Teddy had been sat wrestling with his turkey a moment before. And as soon as I did, I rolled my eyes. I should have known what he was up to the moment he stopped making any noise. The dumb dog had his head between the sofa cushions again. Teddy was facing the back of the couch, body stretched out in a half crouch, head buried up to his ears. A moment later, he began scrambling for purchase with his front paws, trying to dig himself in deeper. "Teddy, come on, mate." I nudged his body and was met with a high-pitched, excitable growl. Teddy continued scrambling with his paws, wiggling his shoulders back and forth. I rolled my eyes again. For the past couple of days, this has been Teddy's favorite game. The minute he's up on the couch, he's like a damn ferret down a rabbit hole, desperate to get in between those cushions. Usually I tell him not to, then put him down on the carpet if he keeps it up. I've been telling myself, he probably has the smell of some food that's fallen down there. Before today, before everything had happened, I've been planning to strip the sofa at some point and dig out whatever had lodged itself in the gap. Looking back now, that thought makes me feel ill. At the time though, it was just another thing on the list of jobs I kept putting off. There had been a lot of those since we'd gotten Teddy. Like I said, I'm the one around during the day. I work from home. But with Teddy, the work aspect has had to take a back seat. Now, as I reached and nudged his body again, and was once more met with a high-pitched growl, I found myself mentally counting down the minutes until my son got home from school, until I can hand the dog over to him. Ben was the main reason we'd gotten Teddy after all. He'd wanted a pet, and we'd wanted to cheer him up, give him something to look forward to when he got him from school. The thing is, ever since the kid left juniors and started at secondary, he's been a bit out of sorts, spending more and more time in his room, not talking as much. My wife was the first one to notice it, and when she pointed it out to me, I told her it was probably just normal 12-year-old kid stuff. But I could tell she was worried. So we decided to do something nice for him, and try and break the cycle with the puppy. But right now, the only thing the puppy was in danger of breaking was the fabric of my sofa cushions. "Teddy, that's enough." Hooking a finger around his collar, I tried to tug him back from the gap between the cushions. It was harder than I thought it would be. He's still only little, but he's strong, and he really didn't want to come out. As I pulled, Teddy tensed his body and stiffened his legs. He let out another growl. This one was half muffled. Then he lunged forward, trying his best to pull away from me. "Teddy, no." By this point, I'd run out of patience. Twisting in my seat, I reached out with my other hand and scooped Teddy away from the sofa cushions, lifted him up in the air. He struggled in my grip, paws paddling at nothing. "If you can't behave yourself, you'll have to go on the floor." I swiveled around and placed him on the carpet in front of me. And that was when I realized he had something in his mouth. Teddy turned to look up at me with his large brown eyes. There was an almost guilty expression on his face. His jaws were shut tight, but I could see a small shape bulging out against his chops. A second later, he was wagging his tail again and padding away from me. "Oh, for goodness sake." I braced my hands against the sofa and pushed myself to my feet. "Teddy, come here." Teddy trotted across the lounge towards the dining room, and I followed. I knew I couldn't let him have whatever he'd found back there. No way. If it was a random object, there was the danger he'd swallow it after all. And even human food can be dodgy for puppies. You have to be really careful what you let them eat. "Teddy." Just before he disappeared beneath the dining table, I reached down and got a hand on him. And just as I did, I heard the back door click open. My son, home from school. "Right, what have you got there?" Teddy struggled against me, but I held him in place by his collar. Then I reached down with my free hand and got a finger into his mouth. "Dad? Dad, you here?" As my son's voice floated through from the kitchen, I located the shape in Teddy's chops. It wasn't what I thought it would be. I could tell that right away. I was expecting to touch something hard, maybe the plastic coating of some lost toy of my son's, or the crunchy shell of an old biscuit. But the thing in Teddy's mouth was soft. Soft and hairy. I frowned and hooked my index finger around it for purchase. "Dad? In here, mate." Teddy struggled against me once again, but I held him tight. Using my other finger, I pushed his mouth open a little bit wider. Then I used my thumb to get a grip on whatever it was he'd found. Come on, Teddy. Let go. Drop it now. Good boy. Drop it. Teddy let out a low growl. My son's footsteps echoed in the hallway. As they drew nearer, I finally worked the object free from Teddy's mouth. And as I stared down at it in my hand, I recoiled. What's going on, Dad? I slipped the thing into my pocket as my son appeared in the dining room doorway. He stared in at me, school rucksack still slung over one shoulder, a disheveled boy with messy brown hair and bags under his eyes. Vaguely, I found myself thinking about how much time he'd been spending alone lately, how often he shut himself away in his room. Yip, yip! Teddy stared up at me, tail wagging. My son's eyes shifted from me to the puppy, and a smile appeared on his face. He's not giving you trouble again, is he? I could feel the thing I just pulled out of Teddy's mouth bulging against the material of my jeans. I felt faintly sick. What? No, he's all right, I said. No worse than usual. But at that point, my mouth was on autopilot. My mind was elsewhere. I was thinking about my son, and how the bags under his eyes were getting worse. I was remembering how he told us he'd wanted a pet to play with, and I was thinking of something I'd heard earlier on the news. A headline I'd barely taken in at the time, but which was now ringing in my head like an alarm bell. Mostly though, I was thinking about the thing in my pocket. The thing I'd just pulled from Teddy's mouth. The thing that had been covered in a mixture of dog drool and blood, and was currently soaking through the material of my jeans. Not a discarded biscuit or a long-forgotten toy soldier, but the dissected paw of a dead cat.